100.9 FM, Noongar Radio. Good to have you with us right here on Noongar Radio. And the program is Health Matters, and health does matter too as well. Good to be with you on this particular day. It also will be broadcasting also around Perth and the metropolitan area. But the program you're listening to is heard right across Australia on our radio networks. So, yes, it's really be good to engage today, and we'll talk about ear health today. And Joe Rogers, hello. It's a good afternoon to you, Joe. Well, I should say good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy, and thanks for inviting me along.
Nice to have you on the program, and of course, let's talk about country and talk about who you are, and of course, why you've gone into ear health, and tell us your position.
Okay, at the moment, I'm ear health coordinator with the Child and Adolescent Community Health Aboriginal Health Team. We're currently based at Belmont, but we have 9 outreach bases. Now, overall, I coordinate the Metro Ride School Screening Program.
Yes.
And sitting with me is Fiona, who's the clinical lead on that program. Also coordinate the ENT clinics, one based in Armidale, one based in Padbury. And that's a follow-on process. So there's the ENT clinics and the school screening program.
Yeah.
Originally from Kalgoorlie, grandmother was from Hermannsburg Mission. Had my dad, she came through, had my dad in Laverton, and my mother is from Payne's Farm, Yamatji Country.
Wow. Yeah. Nice to have you on the program, really is, and you've come on the program before too.
Yes, about a year ago, Jeremy.
365 days ago. Yes. Fiona Madden, tell me about you and what you do.
Yeah, hi Jeremy. So I am a clinical nurse with the Aboriginal Health Team. Originally got involved for the child health side of things.
Yes.
Met some really amazing families, and then was able to come on board with Joe to support the ear health program, and it's something we're both really passionate about.
And it's more of awareness, isn't it, to get people to be aware, Joe, about ear health and the importance of it.
Absolutely. It's the awareness, it's the education, and it's the knowledge that surrounds ear health that can actually totally prevent a lot of the middle ear disease.
Mm. Yeah. And that awareness is, the importance is to get that into the community to be able to understand that and to, the seriousness of it. Because infections, people say, oh, it's just a ear infection, but there are other complications too.
Yeah, absolutely. Lifelong complications. At the moment, there's ear health affects about 90% of Aboriginal kids in remote areas.
Really?
And it's quite high in urban. There have been no real comprehensive studies about urban ear health numbers, but that is being carried out at the moment. There's a study going on at Telethon Kids Institute on urban numbers, but that's quite high also. And it's totally preventable. This doesn't have to happen. It's not normal. It's not normal for kids, children, babies to have ear health disease amongst the Aboriginal community.
And how do you put that message across? I mean, you're doing it through radio.
Yeah.
The importance of putting that message across to our community that are listening in now.
Through when we have contact with families, health promotion, and that's where we get to educate parents, increase their knowledge around the burden of ear health disease.
Yeah, and of course the long-term effects of ear health.
Yes.
And as you said, there are other complications too as well.
Oh, absolutely. If children cannot, they start off by not hearing, and then at school, if they're not listening to the teacher because of hearing concerns, this can lead to behavioural problems. Behavioural problems look like they're disobedient, they're not hearing, they're not doing as they're told, and that's simply because they can't hear the instructions that are being targeted at them. This then can lead to behavioural issues when they're adolescents, They get in trouble with the police, and then they're in the justice system. And once they're in the justice system, they have trouble hearing the lawyers. They have trouble hearing the judge. That has been recognised now, and there is research in that area too. So it has lifelong implications.
You know, one of the things, while we're talking like this here, the thing is that, you know, people, we take that for granted, don't we, when it comes to that particular situation.
I think of it like trying to watch a TV show on mute. You see what's going on, but you're never going to really understand what's going on around you. And if you think about children, they need to hear to learn to speak. If they're not learning to speak when it comes to school and they need to phonetically sound things out, to learn to spell, to learn to write, they're starting on the back foot. And our education system is heavily dependent on language in order to learn, to teach. So these children are starting on the back foot and they're struggling.
Yeah, it totally affects how they interact with others, interact with their teachers, interact with anyone they come into contact with. It affects their understandings because they can't hear language, they can't understand the connection, and it affects their whole ability to communicate with the world around them.
It was really interesting you mentioned that the aspect. I've been in the law enforcement for 31 years, and just discussing this is an amazing process because the effects of hearing damage or hearing loss can be undermined.
Even their self-worth, you know, they're struggling at school, so they feel dumb, and it's not that they are dumb, they just can't hear what's going on. You know, if you watch a TV show in mute, you're not going to know what's going on. It doesn't mean that you're stupid.
So it's self-esteem, self-worth.
Absolutely.
And community, belonging.
It affects everything.
Yes.
Yeah, that sense of belonging. They can't hear music well. They can't engage in those activities surrounding music, listen to music with family, and even storytelling, the family history, the family, you know, what our grandfathers did and aunties and uncles are doing. It affects hearing.
Cultural
damage. Might look like they might be looking at you, but they're not hearing.
Amazing, isn't it? Because it's also damaging for culture and community, and also perception, understanding, and this has a big effect in the community. And at the same time, we get to a point where we become complacent to that. Even when the young ones are listening to even the TV up so loud, and by looking at that, there might be someone's listening right now, and their kids have got some hearing damage. The television's up so loud, they're listening to it so loud, and of course they become irritable, fidgety, and antisocial.
And what a lot of the parents are saying is that when I ask them how their ears are going, how do you know he's got hearing issues? What are you witnessing with your child? They say, look, I yell at him and he doesn't hear. I scream his name and he doesn't hear. He always has the TV up loud. And the opposite can happen too. They can often speak quietly. So besides loud, they can often speak quietly. So but the first sign is when the parents can't get their attention.
Yeah. And the parents that are listening in should be looking at this, looking at what's happening to their children, or even any particular person who's in that situation when, there's audible problems that are happening. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. We advocate with our child health bases. We check the ears every contact we have with families. We do a quick look in the ears, and we also encourage families, you know, if you go to the doctor even for immunizations or something like that, just ask them to have a quick look in their ears. There's, you know, you are your child's advocate, and it's completely within your right to ask the doctors to keep on top of it.
What are some of the physical signs you can see for an adult or a young person, or maybe the mum or the dad, that they can see that there are other physical signs?
A lot of the time there's pain and irritability. They might not be sleeping. They might not be eating and drinking like they usually are. Sometimes you might have no pain, but you might notice a bit of discharge to the ears. A lot of the time, if the ear infection's been there long enough, it can actually cause the eardrum to burst. And that might be when the child actually has no pain because that pressure in the ear has been relieved, but any discharge from the ear is not normal and definitely needs to be checked out.
Yeah. The implications is the damage later on, isn't it?
Yes. Then that not only do often, many times they have recurrent infections.
Yeah.
So it's not just the one-off infection, treat with antibiotics or finished. There's elements of preventative issues that if they're not in place, then there can be ongoing recurrent reinfections. And this is what leads to hearing loss.
Yeah, and this is the importance of picking it up earlier, isn't it? To be able to pick it up and and to go, okay, no worries, there's something something untoward that's happening. The physical signs, which are really important too as well, isn't it, is to say, well, there is some infection that could have a play in the eardrum and the middle ear, and then it goes right into the auditory system too as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otitis media, there's 7 forms of otitis media, which is middle ear disease, yes.
And tell me those forms, the 7 forms that
of them is otitis media with effusion. This is all that fluid behind the ears. Persistent, which is chronic, otitis media with effusion. This is also fluid in the middle ear without symptoms for more than 3 months.
That's what sometimes call glue ear.
Then you can get otitis media without a perforation, which is commonly known as bulging of the eardrum. And then they can get otitis media with perforation. That's when it has burst and a discharge has come through. Discharge is pus. Mm. And recurrent otitis media is when it just keeps on happening and continuously. Then there's chronic suppurative otitis media. That's where there's persistent discharge, discharge is happening a lot, happening all the time. And then there's a dry perforation where the eardrum has burst, but there's no signs of any pus or fluid behind the ears. There's just a hole in that little eardrum.
And this is where, of course, the damage starts to occur.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the preventative process is to be aware of this, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Things like staying on top of vaccinations really helps. Getting rid of dummies after 6 months, bottles, keeping up with those regular screenings and having ears checked frequently.
Getting rid of dummies?
Yeah, so pacifiers, they create a negative suction,
right.
So they can introduce bacteria into the mouth, but because they create a negative suction, it actually helps bacteria to travel up the eustachian tube. So that's the tube that connects the nose to the middle ear. So that needs to stay, it's a direct airway right into your middle ear. That needs to stay nice and clean and open for the middle ear to stay healthy. So sometimes if you get a cold and your sinuses are all blocked, that can travel straight back up that tube into your middle ear, and that's when you're introducing bacteria and viruses that can cause ear infections.
It's amazing to hear the ramifications to this.
It
is an education for me right now.
Fantastic. If parents are getting educated, that's all the more better. Besides those things, even smoke irritates the lining through our sinus. Campfire smoke, surprisingly, can still irritate anything that is not, clean, healthy air. Breastfeeding is good if mums can breastfeed as long as possible.
And if they've got a bottle, not putting them to bed with the bottle
with
their mouth, because
that
just drips into the back of the throat and, again, introducing that bacteria into that tube.
But, Jeremy, one of the most important things around middle ear disease prevention is hand washing with soap.
Yeah.
So good hand washing techniques, just introducing after they've been outside, after they've touched animals,
because
they've been with other kids.
The cross infections.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another thing that, it's the simple things that work.
Very much.
It's washing hands, making sure that it's all clean, and it is a very important preventative approach, probably the most preventative approach, really, when
especially
it comes to because of crossing in infections as well. Yeah.
This time of year, there's lots of colds and flus and that kind of thing going around, and you know, when you're going to school, they're around other kids and. Kids like to share. So it's all, yeah, if they're washing their hands before they eat and that kind of stuff, preventing getting colds and flus themselves will help prevent ear infections.
And using tissues, blowing their nose is one important factor. And then washing your hands after you blow your nose, that's important too.
And children with pets as well, I mean, that could be, you know, Another thing, if it's
it's just another thing to introduce after introduce the hand washing after being outside with pets. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Now, what happens when a person fronts up to you and say, "Okay, no worries." What sort of test do they do? Is it a frightening test for people, for the kids to go through?
No, completely non-invasive.
Hearing, isn't it?
Yeah. So we first have a look, see what we can see if there's anything that really stands out. See what's going on. We do a tympanometry assessment, so that actually measures the pressure in the middle ear and the ability of the eardrum to pass sound through it. So it's seeing how effective the eardrum is working at the moment, and it'll tell us straight away if there's any fluid in the middle ear or any pus as well, anything that shouldn't be there. And then we do a hearing assessment as well, so it's getting a big picture of the functioning of the middle ear and any impact that it's having on the child's hearing. But completely non-invasive, takes less than 10 minutes, and we have a bit of fun with it as well.
What's a healthy ear would be registered at, sort of, say for instance, you know, someone should be quite healthy there. They can be listening to sounds, the auditory systems and all that stuff, listening to things is pretty as important. Is there a level or that people should be concerned with? But it is more of hearing of what they can hear outside, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a couple of different types of hearing loss as well. There's conductive hearing loss that is caused by damage to the bones in the middle ear, so that's caused by lots of ear infections and that kind of thing. But then there's also hearing loss that's caused by a problem with the nerves sending that hearing signal to the brain. So, yeah, there's definitely a couple of different types of problems that could be going on, but a healthy ear works best just at room air. So there's the pressure inside the ear, the middle ear is nice and clear, and it matches that of the outside.
I've had mums and dads in the bush in the country over a long period of time. They're there with their mum, their children, and all of a sudden they get an earbud. And they start cleaning with earbuds. That is not a good thing to do.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And it's that education we need to put out to the community as well. And, you know, earbuds are not really for earbuds and shouldn't be an earbud.
Yeah, and I think they're called cotton buds. They're labelled as cotton buds.
I think it's changed because of that.
And they actually can compound the wax in the ear. So, and a little bit of wax in the ear is totally healthy, totally normal, but pushing cotton buds, or
you're just pushing the wax.
You're actually compacting
into
it,
into the
worse.
Middle ear.
Correct. Yeah.
And again, that message must be going out to our community as well out there, and mums and dads who I've seen that happen from time to time, and it is again education and to get that education out there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Surprisingly, Jeremy, that at birth there is absolutely no difference in hearing between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal children. They both have the same hearing. But by the time, you know, between 2 and 20, Aboriginal children experience ear disease 10 times longer. So that is, on average, Aboriginal children experience ear disease for 2.7 years compared to non-Aboriginal people who experience ear disease for 3 months. That's wow. between those years. So it's all about preventative measures.
Yeah. And about the education as well, isn't it? Preventative
education.
And to, you know, putting the message across to the communities and the people as well to, you know, look at what's happening. And important to have regular checkups too.
Yes. Opportunistic. Every time you're in the vicinity of a health care worker, a doctor, a nurse, just ask to have a quick look in the ears.
Yeah. And non-invasive. It's listening, looking, and looking at what's happening to a patient, and to go through that and go, okay, no worries, I can now we've got something to work with. Yeah, mm. And you have another point there?
Oh no.
So the education within the community, where can people go? Say, for instance, if there are clinics in and around Perth in the metropolitan area, may not necessarily go into your clinic, but they could be going to another clinic, or you could advise them, or, and if there's hearing loss gone to a point where it's damaged and that they need artificial processes to heal with them as well.
Yeah, once they've seen a professional like an ENT consultant, usually at that stage they're then referred to Australia Hearing for implements to attach to their ears for better hearing. So
that's
when it's pretty bad. But at the moment with our school screening program, we target schools within the metro area that have a population of 20 or more Aboriginal students. Yeah. That's where Fiona comes in, does the screening. If there's any red alerts there, she'll highlight and flag to me, and then I will, in the next month or two, book them in to have a consultation with the ENT surgeon and have a full comprehensive audiology test done.
Yeah.
At free.
That's even good as well.
Well, we were talking to some of the staff at the Children's Hospital, and at the moment, especially with the move, some of the waiting lists have kind of blown out a little bit, and these children could be sitting on these wait lists just for their first consultation for nearly 2 years. And, you know, so we've got the opportunity to have them seen a lot sooner. It's absolutely fantastic. When you think of all the time and the development that they could be missing out on sitting on those lengthy wait lists, so...
And tell me about the schools program, and who's eligible for that as well, like, say, Aboriginal kids and other children as well, regarding the schools project?
Yeah, so all kindy and pre-primary students, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, have a hearing and vision assessment when they first start school. We go back in and check kids, because if they have moved from country or if they've changed schools, they can miss out and they just get lost. So we go back in and see kids up to year six if need be. We talk a lot more with teachers and parents. If they've got any hearing concerns, then we'll screen the kids again, even if they've had screening in the past and that's come up fine. But if parents and teachers are saying, look, we've got a concern, we'll see them again. So we're heading all over Perth Metro, so, and down south as well.
And of course, if the problem persists, as they say, is that if there are other problems, you have enough resources and agencies that you've got to get in contact with and go, okay, no worries, we need to look deeper into this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. With more awareness around the ear health problems at the moment, there's, we've been very lucky to be able to provide those resources. Joe, you would know a lot more about that.
Yeah, they have access to our medical officer, who is part of the Aboriginal health team, and they can either choose to see her, book into one of the clinics, one of the 9 clinics that we have, and she usually does a referral to me to coordinate to see the ENT surgeon. If Fiona comes across a really concerned mother or a child that looks like it's had a lot of recurrent otitis media, she'll say, oh, look, can we get this one into the next ENT clinic? And we will get them in within 2 months. And at the clinic, they're greeted by me. It's a very safe environment. It's an Aboriginal children's clinic only. And
culturally sensitive, yeah.
Very culturally sensitive. They can bring their siblings, they can bring any family member they want to those clinics. They're quite welcome. Then they'll have an appointment with the audiologist who will do a very comprehensive hearing test, and then they may wait 10 to 15 minutes and they'll have a consultation with the ENT surgeon. And if there is surgery to be done, that consent forms are signed there and then, and that is emailed straight to the PCH.
Yeah.
So it's the ENT consultant and the audiologists are very culturally sensitive and have worked with Aboriginal communities, remote, rural and in urban places too.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the... We touch on some of the preventative approaches too as well, what people can do now. It's pretty important, isn't it?
Yes.
Our listeners who have children at the moment, and Dave, myself as well, with a young child, there's things that you can do now. You know, the importance of, as you said, washing hands and making sure that it's all clean and all that, and that the child is also and also sort of checking as much as you can.
Yeah, just noticing subtle changes in your child. Like I said, if they're pulling even if they state, "Oh, I've got a sore ear," don't ignore it.
Grabbing the ear is important.
Grabbing the ear. Even going to the GP or getting in touch with the Aboriginal health team. They'll put you straight on to me and we can take it from there. Vaccinations are crucial.
Pretty important.
So the 2, 4, 6 months where the pneumococcal and Haemophilus influenza B vaccine are given, it's crucial for keeping those infections down. Yeah.
And mothers would have had their vaccination books all together, and having that information across and on the web page will be available as well, wouldn't they? Information.
Yeah. Most parents are aware of where their closest clinic is. If not, they can ring the Aboriginal Health Team again, and we will direct them. We have every clinic that is in the metro area, and we can let them know. And
I was just going to say, well, if you have a child that hasn't been vaccinated, that can be done.
Oh, we encourage. Right. Yes, yep. Our teams do vaccination at their clinic days. Yes, we encourage them to go there.
And if they've missed something, it's not a big deal. They can organise a catch-up schedule and work with the families to figure out what they've had and what still needs to be done. But, catch-ups are still very important as well.
Yeah. You're listening to Health Matters right around Australia and right here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. We'll go to a break and then we'll come back and we'll touch on some of the other topics and some other interesting points that we can raise or we haven't raised right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Health Matters and an interesting program. When I mean an interesting program, it's totally interesting to me because I'm sort of absorbed into this particular program. Joe Rogers, thanks for coming into the studio. And you're working with a health team of people who are dedicated people as well, working at the health of our people.
We have a great ear health team.
Yeah, and it's the experience, and it's the experience of our community as well. And Fiona Madden, you're a clinical nurse, aren't you?
Yep, absolutely.
And the things that you do within the community, the importance of what you do is really, it's preventative, isn't it, when you look at preventing something? How do we prevent this situation when it happens within communities? And communities, Joe, you said that it shouldn't happen within the community.
No, absolutely. It is not normal for your child to have recurrent ear infections. It's not normal for doctors or the healthcare providers to recognise, oh, this is something that Aboriginal people have. No, that is not normal.
Yeah.
It's just because it's been so consistently happening through young Aboriginal people's lives, especially in remote communities, that it almost seems it's become normal. Where it's not, and this is where parents can play an utmost important role in the prevention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned up to date, there's some research lately, and it is about health, and it's about ear health, and the importance of it as well is, you know, there's research which says your vaccinations should be up to date, getting people to, you know, to become responsible. You know, we all have to have a responsibility here.
Yeah, and because it has such lifelong impact, it affects the whole. It affects your economic economic standing.
Yeah.
You have no income because you didn't have an adequate education because you couldn't hear, and therefore it affected your employment opportunities. Therefore, it leads to economic. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why we don't see these things out in the community from time to time. But now I think we're beginning to see these things.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of research around ear health, especially remote and rural. But now they're starting to realise, well, they have been realising for a while, that it does impact in urban areas too. It's not normalised. And it has become a core of child and adolescent community health, Aboriginal health team. And that it's become a core, ear health has become a core subject from the ear health strategy that's being implemented from 2017 to 2021. It's that bad. So there's got to be something done about it.
And we're doing something about it right here at Now Radio through this conversation. And the conversation is about ear health and adolescents' ear health, and to be getting to it while it is at an early stage. And Fiona, you go to schools and you would have seen some good examples of where families and parents would have, you know, taken on the mantle and said, okay, no worries, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah.
Tell us some of those examples.
Absolutely. So I've met some parents who've come to me and said, I've been on the wait list for 18 months, we haven't heard anything, we don't know what's going on, what do we do? I've gone to Joe and said, what can we do for these families? We've gotten them into the ENT clinics within a couple of months, and they've been waitlisted for surgery, like urgent surgery. So it's not just, you know, they've got mild problems. It's urgent surgery. It needs these, the problems that they're having is affecting their daily lives, their ability to learn at school. So
these are young children, aren't they?
Absolutely. Primary school age children where they're learning all the foundations for their education. We've been lucky enough to have access to these resources where we can help them, get them seen a lot faster than otherwise.
Yeah, and most times the parent is aware something's really wrong, really wrong, and sure enough, they're scheduled for surgery once they have that consultation with the ENT surgeon. But more importantly, we should be looking at the 0 to 2.5-year-olds because that's where it starts, 0 to 2.5. So targeting and even educating and increasing the knowledge of the antenatal stage, that's really important to get to mothers who are pregnant and to what to look for once their child is born. And importantly, have the newborn hearing screening.
It's interesting you say this because you're looking at prenatal and then there's antenatal.
Yes.
And preventative is also prenatal too,
isn't it? Yes, correct. Yes, educating the parents, increasing their knowledge around ear health issues and what to look for if they think their child might have ear infections or, more importantly, how to prevent them.
And the prenatal, 0 to 2.
0 to 2.5 is a crucial area, and that's when things can go wrong really fast. And that's where we need to make parents aware that hand hygiene, smoking, breastfeeding helps, vaccination, those 2, 4, 6 month vaccinations, keeping baby away from smoking or campfire smoke, just the basic things, or that hand washing before you touch baby's face, touch baby near the ears and nose.
Because culturally we want to see the baby, touch the baby, and, you know, and everyone wants to you know, have that contact with a newborn, and but we've got to stop for a moment and say, okay, let's see the preventative approach.
Yes.
Let's wash our hands.
Yes.
Make sure our hands are all clean.
Yes.
And it's up to the mother and, of course, the father too, as well, to be assertive,
family.
Isn't it?
Yep.
To assertive about it and get others to be assertive to take charge.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And yep.
And no, one of the we love touching and cuddling and squeezing our babies and kissing them.
Yeah.
And kissing them. Oh, we have so much bacteria in our saliva.
Mm.
So kissing them is quite damaging, especially around near the lips, because all that sinus area, nose, throat, mouth, ears, all connected.
Yeah.
So it brings about those
so
problems.
Education now within our community to become be thoughtful and to be mindful and take of course we have to take responsibility, and I think everyone has to do that rather than someone else is taking the responsibility later time. And you know, you've got ear damage, it's better to be preventative than after the effects.
Yeah, also just understanding that babies' ears are different than adult ears.
Yeah.
They are physically much more susceptible to ear infections and ear problems because their ears are still developing. That little tube I was talking about earlier that connects the nose to the middle ear, in babies it is much shorter and it is much thinner. If you can think of a very narrow straw, any little blockage, say from a blocked nose, is going to completely block that tube, and that causes negative pressures in the ears and causes more problems. Whereas an adult, you know, if you think of a bigger straw, it takes a lot more for that tube to become blocked. In babies, it's also flatter. So in adults, it's kind of angled up, so it's much harder for bacteria to travel up the tube into the middle ear. But in babies, because it's flat, it's much easier for bacteria to go straight into that middle ear and cause an infection.
Yeah.
So they're much more susceptible to those problems.
Okay, mothers who are listening into the program now, and there's quite a few people listening to Noongar Radio, and we need you to understand these things too as well. And you know, I think it's really important to understand, you know, these aspects of our health, because down the road, down the track, and of course some of the challenges that we might face.
Mm.
And it's better, as I said in the interview, it's better preventative than anything else. And I think that's the most important thing as well.
Yeah, if we can raise awareness to parents on what actually makes healthy ears through those preventative measures, but also be aware of what causes and contributes to ear disease, what causes and contributes to unhealthy ears. So to be aware of those two factors.
Yeah.
Teaching kids to blow their nose.
Yes.
You wouldn't think blowing, you know, you think, oh, I'm just going to blow my nose, it's just something you do. But kids actually
clearing.
Need to be taught to blow their nose and not to sniff it back up. They've got to learn to blow.
Yes.
One of the things we do at school is we take a tissue and we break off a little corner and roll it into a ball.
Yeah.
And you put it on your hand just under your nose and you sort of get them to, you know, so they learn that action of actually blowing out through their nose. So we call it tissue soccer. So we get them to blow the little ball of tissue off the end of their hand. So, yeah, just teaching kids to actually blow their nose properly.
Yeah.
Just to help keep those sinuses clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the another one that leading into what Fiona just said is flag tissue. So hold a tissue in front of your nose and just blow out, and it should sway like a flag.
Because
children try and blow through their mouth.
Yeah,
instead of holding their mouth closed and blowing through. You actually have to teach them to blow through their nose.
Isn't it amazing to talk like this? Because, you know, it's, I mean, it is easy, but it's hard at the same time to, you know, and, but to be able to make it, you know, make this whole process of preventative as, you know, it's an easy approach. It's really good to see the examples of what's happening within our community and some of our kids as well, and to be able to, you know, do things, you know, to which is again, a preventative thing, a preventative approach when it comes to doing this. And down the track, prevention is better than, it's better than cure than anything else, you know, and to get that message across to our community. Do you believe you're doing that? The importance is going out to parents as well to reach out to say, look, okay, I'm going to show you something or give you something different to do or something you can learn.
Yeah, the nurses who do the home visiting schedule, they do a lot of promotion around ear health, amongst other things, because there's so much. I mean, there's a lot for new mums to learn. Mm. And even mums who've had a few kids, it's hard to know everything about everything to keep your child healthy. So one of the things they can ask their child health nurse or visiting nurse is, can I have more info on this or can I have more info on that? And we do have the resources, yeah.
Okay. Right. Do you think we've touched, anything we can touch on right now, because we've got minutes have gone so quickly. Anything that we haven't touched on that you think we can obviously bring to the point and bring to our audience today?
Yeah, especially the under twos.
Under twos?
Zero to two and a half year olds. It's crucial. Be aware of their, be aware that if they've got an ear infection and get it treated as soon as possible. And this is it. Timely treatment is the key. Mm-hmm. And preventative measures, like we've mentioned before, is even better.
Yeah, completing those antibiotics courses as well. Yeah, they've got to follow the entire course just to make sure there's no bacteria left remaining to create another infection. Then if they're prescribed antibiotics, to take the entire course to make sure that infection doesn't come back, because they might be better after a couple of days, but there could still be some lingering bacteria that needs to be cleared out.
Parents that are listening in, mums and dads and family, is there a number or a contact number or a web page that you might have that would be of great to help?
Yes, they can contact the Child and Adolescent Community Health Aboriginal Health Team. Our number is 6272 9700, and we can supply them with resources or even just have a chat about e-health over the phone. There is a lot on the net. Just type in otitis media, just type in e-health, just type in Aboriginal e-health. If you don't have access, just call us and we can send out any information you want.
And if at schools, letting people know there?
Absolutely. And if they've got children at school and they are concerned, they can speak to their school's school nurse, and we're making a lot more contact with those school nurses as well, trying to improve communication between the teams. So the school nurses are now able to contact me as well. So if a parent has a school-age child that they're concerned about, they can get in touch with the school and the school nurse and they will come to us.
Yeah. Joe Rogers, you mentioned the importance to prenatal as well to our people out there listening in. It's important, prenatal?
Yes, yes. As we try, as soon as we like to engage with mothers who are just pregnant, who are willing to engage with us. And besides ear health, we go through a lot of other health issues they might want to be aware of at that stage and immediately after the child is born. And one of those is ear health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiona, the vaccinations are important as well. And in the schools, they had all that information too as well. And they would have a mother's book, would they, or a father's book?
Yeah, so they get a little purple book
when baby's
born. They got the immunisation records on there. So it's good to keep on hand and,
And of course you can cross-reference with them if, they haven't been vaccinated, and that would all show in the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they were discharged from hospital before their newborn hearing screening was complete, to contact the hospital as soon as possible, because that's really important to get on top of that, or ring us and we will help. We can even assist with transport to have that hearing test done.
Tell you what, the time's gone so good, but I tell you what, there's a lot of information. A lot of information out there, and I think it's really important that people sort of get this information out there in the community. And as I was listening, I'm going, wow, yes, it is a neglected area within our community. I think we can do something.
I think so, because it's not visible. We don't see a broken limb. We don't see a fractured ear.
Yes, yes.
The only time some people become concerned is when they see that discharge. But just know that ear health can be very painful, and we won't see a thing.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you both for coming in the studios right here on Health Matters.
Thanks for having us, Jeremy.